Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
One of the great classic shows ever on television. You can see Archie's Place on Antenna TV. In fact, you can see just about all the shows we're about to talk about. Norman Lear, His Life and Times. Trip Wetzel, the author of the book. Trip, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. Norman Lear teamed up with Bud Yorkin and produced all of these shows. But before that, they were kind of in the movies and never really made a big splash in the movies, did they?
Well, they did make a big splash in the movies. I mean, not like they would later in television, but they did actually have several very big hits in the 1960s. They had first met while working together on the Colgate Comedy Hour in the early 50s, the early live days of television, where Bud Yorkin was a stage manager and Norman was a writer with his then writing partner, Ed Simmons. They fell in together again in the late 50s with the idea of going in to produce sitcoms when they formed Tandem Productions in 1959. But they wound up getting into the movie business sort of accidentally, as it happened. And they had several actual hits. They had Come Blow Your Horn with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
They had the Divorce American Style and, you know, several other very good films that they were doing. So they had a pretty good track record in the film business. Before television.
Indeed, and you write about that, and I sort of stand corrected, but they didn't change the movie world, and they did change the television world. It began with All in the Family. How did they find All in the Family? I think that's an interesting story.
Well, yes. I mean, first of all, the movie business at that time was sort of ahead of its time. They were already dealing to some degree or another with these sorts of issues that would be dealt with on television. You know, television in the late 1960s was the last to jump the shark, if you will. You know, you had all these rural shows on, particularly on CBS, like the Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres and all these shows, and these whimsical shows like, you know, many other shows like this. And meanwhile, in 1968, Norman was doing a film called The Night They Invaded Minsky's about an Amish girl who accidentally invents the striptease, had one of the actors in the film was Burt Law, who played the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz, who died on the set while they were making the film. And while they were doing it, while Norman was trying to, you know, salvage his part in the film, which he actually was able to do, he read about a show that was making waves in England called Till Death Us Do Part, about a bigoted dock worker in London's East End who constantly feuded with his son-in-law. It reminded him a lot of his own stormy relationship with his father, who used to call him the laziest white kid he ever met. But, you know, they had all these ideological clashes. And so he set about to, you know, on the basis of that, to purchase the American rights to that show to turn it into a sitcom of his own. Not thinking that he was, and Bud Yorkin, by the way, was also in England at the time doing another film, a Pink Panther film, had seen it and told him about it. So it happened on those multiple fronts. And in some cases, Norman said he read about it in TV Guide. He also read about it in Variety, he said, in some interviews. Nevertheless, it intrigued him enough to buy the U.S. rights to the show, which he did. But he was not trying to, you know, change television at the time. He was just writing about real characters with real problems, you know, people who could relate to, real families, you know, conversations that people were actually having around the dinner table that intuitively he felt that people could relate to. And he sold a pilot to ABC initially, actually two pilots, which they turned down for various reasons, which I don't think we have time to get into. And ultimately took the show to CBS, got it into the hands of CBS in 1970. And at that time, they were looking to remake their schedule, what was known as the Rural Purge. They had a young programmer by the name of Fred Silverman, who actually started at WGN in Chicago, so that's just a little fun fact there.
Yes.
I started his career there, and he you know, one thing led to another, and it got on the air in 1971. That's kind of the roundabout way of how it happened. But Norman, you know, when he was, as I said, when he was creating the show, he was not really looking to change television per se. He was just writing about real families with real, you know, problems and things like that. He was not thinking about, you know, I'm going to change television.
All right, so it's interesting the way you tell that story, and I've heard that story told in a very similar manner before. But there I am watching, you know, YouTube knows what you like. So a potential video pops up, and I hit play, and it's Sally Struthers recently talking about how All in the Family came about. And she has a completely different version of the story. She says that Carol O'Connor, who of course played Archie Bunker, is the one who actually found the show, turned Norman Lear onto the show, and it was Carol O'Connor who pushed Norman Lear into doing it. And you write, well, gee whiz, Mickey Rooney, of all people, was first thought about to be what turned out to be Archie Bunker. So have you heard the Sally Struthers version?
Of course I've heard it, and I... You know, I can't curse on the radio, so I won't.
No!
It's not true.
Okay.
It's not true. I mean, you know, the idea for this show was there. The show was there, so multiple people knew about it at the time, you know. And Carol O'Connor may have known about it at the time because it was on television. He was doing some, you know, films in England at the time. There was a person at ABC, another producer, who he was maybe working with at the time that knew about it, you know, and there were some lawsuits going back and forth about this. But what is irrefutable is that Norman Lear, because of his muscle, because of who he was at the time, because of his track record, I mean, the show would not have gotten on the air were it not for him, much less it would not have been the show that it was were it not for him. I mean, that is irrefutable. There are a lot of sour grapes on Sally Struthers' part. For a variety of reasons. She would not talk to me for the book, and despite numerous tries, and that's just, I can't say, you know, curse on the air, but I'll just say poppycock, because it's just not true.
Okay. Well, so Sally is obviously content to talk about All in the Family. She doesn't make a ton of appearances anymore, but what is her issue, if you don't mind telling?
Well,
if you know,
wasn't content to talk about it with me, I'll tell you that. Unfortunately, I tried several times and through several vehicles to get an interview with her, and she just wouldn't do it. She felt that Norman just didn't appreciate her. She felt like she was window dressing on the show. There were problems, you know, all along. She wanted to do a movie in the mid 70s and she couldn't get out of her contract, while, you know, she alleges that Rob Reiner was able to do other stuff. There were a variety of reasons, but I think it's a real big case of sour grapes more than anything else. I would have loved to have heard Sally's other side of the story, and I made numerous attempts to get in touch with her to tell her, give her that opportunity to tell me, but she didn't want to do it.
All right, so let's move on from there. So All in the Family then is a hit, but it wasn't an instant hit necessarily, although today this show is revered, and maybe the most remembered show. You go into detail on some specific episodes, including the Sammy Davis episode. So I want to talk about The Kiss, and we will do that and talk about some of the other programs, including Maude and Sanford and Son and many more, when we come back on WGN with Trip Wetzel, the author of Norman Lear, His Life and Times. The author of Norman Lear, His Life and Times. Norman Lear actually lived to what, 101 years old? Was that it?
Yes.
And he had plans all the way up until, and you write about those plans, but let's back way up. The Kiss. Sammy Davis appears with Archie Bunker. And that was, did Sammy Davis want to do this?
Sammy Davis wanted very much to do this. He and Norman had known each other for years. Of course, Sammy Davis was one of the biggest stars in America at the time. And he and Norman had known each other, been friends, you know, ever since the 50s, when Norman was a writer on the Colby Comedy Hour with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. he loved, and Sandler was a huge, huge fan of All in the Family. And of course, he had appeared on many TV shows, both as himself and as a particular character. But he was so taken with All in the Family that he would actually push, and this was in the days before we had DVRs or even VCRs, he would push back the time of the show in Las Vegas by an hour just so we could see All in the Family. And he started talking about, you know, how it would be great to be able to go on All in the Family and sort of slay Archie, which he wanted to do, how much of fun it would be. And he started basically this campaign to get on the show. But Norman said to him, he said, you know, we can't do this, Sammy, because we just don't have guest stars on All in the Family. And there's no real plausible way that you could appear on the show. And as you're particularly as yourself. So his manager kept pushing, and Sammy kept lobbying. Even, you know, he would tell Johnny Carson this when he did The Tonight Show with Merv Griffin, yada, yada. And finally, he was able to, Norman came up with an idea. Actually, Bill Dana, his friend Bill Dana came up with the idea, who was Jose Jimenez on the Bill Dana show and starting off on the Steve Allen show, that Archie was going to become a cab, was going to moonlight as a cab driver, and Sammy Davis would be a passenger in his cab and leave his briefcase in the cab on the way to JFK Airport. He would come by the house and pick it up. So that seemed to be a plausible storyline, and it was actually written, and that's how he ended up getting on the show. And the script was, and the kiss was sort of improvised towards the end, I believe.
It was improvised. Wow. And Carol O'Connor did not even know that was coming?
No, I don't think he did. I'll have to read the book, but I'll have to, yeah. But
I read the book, and it was unclear in the book. Yeah. You said it was a surprise, but you did say Norman knew about it. And maybe
Norman knew about it, and John Rich knew about
right.
it. Nobody really, John Rich was the director, I think, knew about it. But I don't think anyone, you know, knew it was actually going to know what was going to happen until the show when they actually know. And
all right.
Of course, the audience went bananas, and Archie Bunker, and Carol O'Connor's Archie, nearly keeled over.
Carol O'Connor was an amazing actor, I thought, and in fact, you point out in the book, he was much younger than I would have guessed him to be, near 70-ish, but he was actually in real life much younger at the time.
Yes, he was. Well, you know, people just at that point, I mean, people seemed old. Everyone just seemed older at that point. And I guess that's probably
yes.
because we're older. but, you know, people, I mean, they seemed really old at that point. I know, but he was only in his 40s at the time, late 40s, when the show went on the air. He was a year or two younger than Norman.
Yeah, and I say he was a very good actor. And when you see him on talk shows and such, I mean, completely different than Archie Bunker. Archie Bunker created so much the show, so many waves for the topics they talked about and the way Archie Bunker spoke, the things he said, some of which I would feel uncomfortable, in truth, saying on the radio today. Do you think a show...
Well,
I'll say that again?
You couldn't.
Right.
You couldn't say it on the radio. And I don't think, even to your next question, I don't think a show like All in the Family could have gotten on the air today because it was so politically incorrect. You know, even though the issues that they were talking about are still very much there, I don't think it ever could have gotten on the air today in its present form. And one of the things it had in its favor was that it had a, you know, first of all, it was so new at the time that, you know, people were just blown away by it once they discovered it. But it also had a gift of having a commitment from CBS right from the get-go of 13 first-run episodes and 13 repeats, which would never have happened today. So he's had a chance to find an audience. And, you know, even though it was slow in finding an audience, it was able to find that audience. And once it's dead, then it thinks it's took off.
And it did sure find that audience eventually. Maud took no time to find an audience. And it wasn't all that many shows in, I don't remember how many, where Maud ended up having an abortion. And it's interesting because, again, that topic, the way it was handled at that point in time, I don't know if today it could be handled the same way. And that was a huge hit. And they didn't get as many complaints as probably they would today.
Well, probably not. Of course, because the tide has been turned back, you know. This was right before the, you know, when it first aired, there was a, it was right before Roe v. Wade was officially passed. And the controversy really came afterwards, that summer afterwards, passed during summer reruns. But CBS was very, you know, lenient with Norman. I mean, they knew Norman. They Norman had a track record by then, and they knew he would handle it with the taste and decorum, and he did.
Yeah, he did. But originally, it was supposed to be Rue McClanahan, who played the neighbor, that was going to need the abortion. But they decided that wouldn't work. This is too big. This is too good.
I never knew that. Rue McClanahan. That's interesting.
Well, you wrote about it in your book, and that turned out not to be the case. And I didn't know that either until you wrote about it.
I think I did write about Norm McClanahan. I think what you're thinking about is you're thinking about the Edith Bunker rape on her 50th birthday. That was originally slated for Anne Romano in One Day at a Time. But Maud was really, that was this, the abortion thing was just going to be for Maud.
So, also interesting to me, with all of the people, all of the actors and entertainers that Norman Lear worked with, even on just, if you just take his hit series, his favorite was Bea Arthur, you write. Why do you think that was?
Well, because she made him laugh. I mean, she was a very, very bawdy person, and she had a wicked sense of humor, and she just made him laugh. And you know, she was a natural clown. I think that's why. And they just had this symbiotic connection. You know, they began working together in the 1950s. He spotted her on a Broadway show in the 1950s, and she worked with him once briefly on the George Gobel show, for which he was the head writer in the late 1950s. And they just formed this sort of symbiotic relationship. And of course, she had a very good career in Broadway before that, in appearing in Mame and a few other things. And when it came time to cast for this role as Cousin Maud, and what was thought to be just a one-shot deal along the family, he could think of no other person to play her but Bea Arthur.
And that was an instant hit. Also, moving on up, we heard the theme song. Talk about the Jeffersons and the difference. Actually, the Jeffersons broke new ground on television at that time.
Yes, which is actually celebrating its 50th anniversary this month, as a matter of fact. The Jeffersons was a very groundbreaking show, obviously, because it was about TV's first upwardly, but it was the first to show an upwardly mobile African American family. They had been the Bunker's neighbors on All in the Family. It was a response, though. I mean, they were thinking about doing the show anyway, but it was a really direct response after following the success of Good Times. One afternoon, as the story goes, the Black Panthers visited Norman in his office and said, they were not happy with how African Americans were being portrayed on television because, you know, just poor people in the case of Good Times, which, of course, took place in your city of Chicago. And Cabrini Green, which at the time was one of the poorest neighborhoods in the country. Mm-hmm. And Norman, so that had a big role in, Norman deciding to do the Jeffersons. So, it was a very important show. They also dealt with many groundbreaking issues at beginning, particularly in the first of the series, including suicide. They had one of the first transgender storylines on there, an old friend of George's who was had a sex change, who had been in the Navy with him. Of course, you had Tom and Helen Willis, played by Roxy Roper and Franklin Cover, as America's first interracial couple on television. So it did break a lot of ground. And again, it was a funny show. It was more slapstick, of course, than All in the Family. But it was a very funny show, and it opened a lot of doors.
I love the mother-in-law. Did Norman Lear, was he aware of, at that time, that he must have been aware that he was being courageous, or did he just want good comedy?
Well, I think he wanted good comedy. I mean, at least in the beginning, he just wanted good comedy. As I said, you know, when he ended up purchasing the rights for all what would become All in the Family, it was not to change television. He was just writing a funny sitcom. But I think as time grew and he was given more gravitas because of the success of his shows, I think he, you know, did want to do more and more daring issues. Yes.
Yeah, and he sure did. You could read about them in this book, which is so interesting, and the research here is incredible. Norman Lear, His Life and Times. Trip Wetzel is the author. Again, Norman Lear, His Life and Times. Trip, so nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me on. It was delightful.
Thank you so very much. It was a pleasure to meet you as well.